Ambassador Byrne Neeson, thank you so much for making the time to speak with me on my show and for your many incredible years of service. Previous to being the Ambassador of Ireland to the United States, you were Ireland's Ambassador to the United Nations and secured the seat on the Security Council for Ireland, working for international peace and security. It was my great honor to be invited twice to the United Nations as a journalist for the Champions of Humanity Project and to represent Ms. Magazine during the UN General Assembly and Gates Foundation Conference. Can you share with my listeners one of your most memorable days working with the UN Security Council and or what you're most proud of during your time in that position?
Thanks, Lisa. It's great to speak with you. And you're right, I've just come from a job, a privileged job, sitting representing my country at the Security Council. That's a once in a generation opportunity. So probably my proudest moment was to see Ireland elected. We had to fight to get to that table in a contested election. But once there, we decided we would use our representation on that body to reflect what you've mentioned in your introduction, humanity. And I think Irish foreign policy and the way in which we have a humanitarian vocation in there was really expressed very well during our time on the council. If I think of the memorable moments, I certainly, in a rather negative way, remember the 24th of February last year. I sat there through the night as we learned that President Putin had invaded Ukraine. We had the Ukrainian ambassador sitting at the table in the Security Council that night. I was looking at him, knowing his wife, his children were back, not knowing what was happening as Russia invaded an independent, sovereign country. We stand full square with Ukraine still. So that's a moment that's very poignant, but in a worrying way. Two other things I might say that I carry with me still as a moment of pride, really. One is that I chaired the work on women, peace and security during our tenure. You know, women in Northern Ireland made a critical difference to peace in our country. We tried to bring that sense of the role of women being in the room and at the table, negotiating peace for their communities, for their nations. We hold a record for having brought more women's voices to the Security Council table during our presidency of the Council than any other country ever. I was absolutely dogged in my pursuit of the issues that arose around Afghan women and the deprivation, the banning of Afghan children from education, young girls. So we did a lot to work for women's role in peace and security. And the other thing, just to finish off, I guess, is that Ireland is unique as a UN member in having an unbroken history of service in peacekeeping. We're a small country. We raise our defence forces to help keep the peace across the globe. And we had a groundbreaking resolution that we brought to the Council during our time there, looking at what happens when those peacekeepers move on. How do we populate that space when the good work of peacekeepers is done? So that's just a flavour of what I was doing as Ireland's ambassador at the Security Council.
It is so incredible. Last night I was at the Ms. Magazine Awards and Nancy Pelosi was speaking and they were talking about using the term gender apartheid. And it sounds like that's some of the work you were doing, is recognizing how essential women's roles and women's voices and women's choices are.
Completely. I mean, that was absolutely the case at the Security Council. And when I arrived at the UN, I was elected as the chair of the Commission on the Status of Women. That's the only norm-setting body globally anywhere in the world. And for 2 years, through some of the most toxic debates, remarkably, that you can imagine at the UN, we debated and came up with, to my credit, I will say, agreed conclusions on working on women and their access to public services. And that included reproductive health care. It included access to social welfare support, access to education, which, of course, is usually a public service. And it also then, another year, we looked at women's access to legal support frameworks. For some of us, we may think it's quite normal that we can open a bank account in our name, that a woman can sit on a jury, or indeed that a woman who works the fields, typically in Africa or in Asia, would have land right entitlements None of those things are universal. So we worked on those. So the UN does an incredible amount of that good hard work in terms of establishment of norms and rights that goes unnoticed. But certainly I felt that I tried to play my part in that respect with regard to women while I was there.
It's so inspiring. And for myself, I've been really fortunate to travel to Ireland multiple times. And I love the incredible history. I always tell people about how I visited Newgrange, which is 1,000 years older than the pyramids. And in Kilkenny, I was so lucky. I had a lesson in hurling. They said I was good, but I don't think that was true. But I tried. It's the oldest sport, they told me. And there's just so many iconic places to visit in Ireland. I'm sure people always ask you, what should I see? But do you have a secret favorite spot or maybe where your family is from?
Well, you just touched on the important matter there. I'm from County Louth, which is in fact the neighborhood of Newgrange, which I think is one of the most remarkable cultural assets that Ireland has to offer. It's stunning. But a little known secret that next door in the same district are two other great tumuli, two other great burial chambers, one at Dowd and one at Nowth. So it was a sort of a triangle of habitation and of course of burial then, as the Newgrange tomb chamber is a burial chamber. So if you go to Newgrange, don't forget that there are in the district two other UNESCO recognized remarkable burial sites just within miles of each other. The not so secret, but my favorite stop off in Dublin, and I think I could give the tour myself, is Kilmainham Jail. It's the jail that is so poignant, atmospheric, and still speaks to the Irish spirit of independence. It's a jail where famously, infamously, the 1916 leaders were executed as they fought for Irish independence and sovereignty. And because, of course, I dedicated my life to the service of Ireland, and I would hope in some small way what I do reinforces Ireland's own sense of independence and sovereignty on the global stage, I like to go back, and that's a touchstone for me, because the sacrifices that were made in that jail by men who were executed, but there were many women who were imprisoned. Cumann na mBan was the group of Irish women who supported the revolution or the liberation effort in Ireland. And a number of them were badly treated and imprisoned also in Kilmainham. So, and finally, I'd say in Kilmainham, what's very moving is that many of the men saw their sisters, their mothers, their wives for the last time there. So it's a sort of a pilgrimage thing I do when I go to Ireland. And if people can pick that up in their tour, it tells you a bit of where we've come from as you arrive in a very 21st century Dublin and see what we've become thanks to those who fought for that independence.
It is a really moving place to visit. And when I was there, maybe not that surprisingly, it was raining. And that sort of added to the atmosphere, I think. But
well, as you know, the 1916 rising was at Easter. It's known as the Easter Rising. And the weather was not sunny and bright, neither metaphorically nor in reality. So visiting it in the rain is probably very appropriate.
Well, my last visit, it was almost completely sunshine. But one of the things you touched on today and what brought us here together today was that 30 million Americans claim Irish heritage, and huge numbers of people cross from the United States across the Atlantic on Aer Lingus. And that you have this new incredible partnership with Due West and Aer Lingus celebrating Irish artists. And I know that's going to be more available across the internet and also on the flights. And when I was in Ireland, we heard amazing people. I heard Lisa Hannigan sing, who sung for the president. And today's celebration is a way to discover more performers. Are there other ways that you're working here in the US with your new position to promote all of the incredible cultural heritage of Ireland?
Thank you for recognizing the incredible cultural heritage. And you mentioned one of my favorite Irish singers, Lisa Hannigan, who actually we worked with while I was on the Security Council, and she She sang for us before we went to that big vote at the UN. It was all virtual at the time, but so many international people have asked me about her since. What we're doing here now in the United States, and particularly here on the West Coast, and our Consulate General of Ireland, our Consul General, Marcella Smith, at the head of this, they've just produced a wonderful Spotify video, a playlist, that in this Pride Month, I'm mentioning it because it celebrates Irish LGBTQ plus artists, friends, wonderful music there, and you can access that, and I think there's more to come there. I know that the consulate here locally, for those who are listening locally, is doing amazing live work on the ground at the Hotel Cafe, Winston House, where new favourite Irish voices, artists, in a series called Irish Friends are being featured. A few names I'll mention straight away: Levi Evans, Lenny, Eliza, Jay Pryor, Emer Kinsella, we just heard play a violin in the most exceptional, inspirational way. And of course, many of your listeners will recognize one of our big stars of the series, Hozier, who hopefully will be back in LA playing, rounding up the series at the Hollywood Bowl on the 4th of November, if I'm giving away a secret there, it's out now. So I think if you want to follow all of that, you should follow us at Ireland in LA. And you can keep up to speed there on artists that are touring through the region and playing at those venues, Hotel Cafe, the Peppermint, Winston House, Largo, and the Troubadour, of course, which I didn't mention earlier. And because, of course, I'm ambassador to the United States, my parishes are right across the country. So I wanted to say that Culture Ireland is working also to fund showcases in other venues. I mentioned South by Southwest in Austin and something called Folk in Kansas, so Folk Alliance in Kansas. So there's a huge opportunity for your listeners to check in on the work we're doing elsewhere. And a good way to stay abreast of all of the dynamic work we're doing in the cultural sphere is to sign up to a really excellent cultural newsletter we have, which is called Greenlight. And that gives up-to-date information on all Irish cultural events happening at any one time right across the United States, because some of your listeners may travel and they may like to check in wherever they are, what might be happening locally. And our consulate in New York, it takes sign-ups for that. And I think if you go on the website and perhaps you follow the Twitter also, of the consulate in New York, you'll get the details there, but it's a real resource.
Those are fantastic resources, and we'll put those in the listener notes so people could easily find them. And I feel so fortunate to be in your presence, that you've committed your work life to politics and making the planet better. And I've loved all my time in Ireland, whether you're doing ancient sports or I got to do falconry at Ashford Castle. There's so much in Ireland and there's so much here for connection. So I just want to say thank you for your time and for sharing this great information with my listeners.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Lisa. And I can say any woman who has survived a hurling expedition in Ireland deserves huge respect. So I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I hope that we can continue the conversation another time.
Thank you so much.
You went to sea for the day. You wanted to know what to say when he's a swarthy gun in the past to someone that he loved. Won't you stand in my
Thank you.
Fizzy blood and twitchy fists, I'm buried.